now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. Recent Federal Reserve research links rising student debt to a decline in homeownership among young Americans. The prevalence of student debt also helps explain the flight of college graduates from rural areas. As indicated by writers Joss Mitchell and Laura Cusisto, these two shifts in behavior are helping to reshape the U.S. economy. The various impacts of student debt have been increasingly debated in recent years as the total has surged to $1.5 trillion, surpassing the credit card and auto loan bills of Americans. Between 2005 and 2014, homeownership among people ages 24 to 32 declined by 9 percentage points to 36% from 45%. While a number of factors influenced the home ownership rate among this group, the Federal Reserve concludes that approximately a fifth of the decline is directly tied to student debt. That translated into about 400,000 people who could have owned a home by 2014, but who didn't because of their student loans. Many borrowers have fallen behind on their student debt, damaging their credit and hurting their ability to qualify for mortgages. Many others have simply been unable to amass sufficient down payments. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. While the U.S. labor market has been very strong recently, helping to pull unemployment lower and push wages higher more rapidly, the economic outlook for those lacking a college degree remains uncertain. As indicated by research from MIT, the earnings of workers without a college education have scarcely risen in 50 years once one adjusts for inflation. For men, earnings have actually declined. As indicated by The Economist magazine, this stagnation in wage growth has accompanied significant shifts in U.S. employment. The share of jobs that require either a considerable amount of training or hardly any training at all has expanded since 1970. However, much of the production and office work that requires moderate levels of training, jobs that once employed vast numbers of workers without college degrees, has disappeared. Many have either been shipped abroad or offloaded on computers or robots. The result has been growing pressure on the middle class, particularly those who lack post-secondary education. This has geographic consequences as well. The share of the working age population with a college degree is now 20 percentage points higher in urban places than in rural ones. In 1970, the gap was just 5 percentage points. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. Last year, membership in unions declined once again in America. According to the most recent data from the U.S. Labor Department, the union membership rate, which reflects the percentage of wage and salary workers who belong to a union, fell to 10.5% from 10.7% a year earlier. As indicated by writer Sarah Cheney, last year's decline in union membership stems primarily from a fall in union membership among state employees. Among state employees nationally, membership rates slipped from more than 30% to below 29%. This decline could reflect early impact from a Supreme Court decision rendered last summer. That decision indicated that requiring public sector employees to pay agency fees, including union dues, is unconstitutional. The ruling means that government workers have less incentive to fund unions that negotiate on their behalf. Interestingly, the decision impacted both state and local employees, but union membership rates rose at the local level nationally. Why? Perhaps because local union membership is largely comprised of teachers, and teachers have been banding together in many communities to complain about pay, working conditions, and other salient matters. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. Economic growth may seem like a complicated matter, but it's really quite basic. Economic growth is merely a function of gains in the number of people working and their productivity. One can take this a step further. More workers implies more output, income, and consumer spending, as indicated by the Wall Street Journal. growth also attracts more employers and more workers, which means even more output, income, and consumer spending. By these measures, no state is expanding as rapidly in economic terms as Utah. Since January of 2010, Utah has registered the fastest growing labor force of any American state. Indeed, the state's labor force has expanded at a rate of nearly 2% per annum since 2010, which is more than triple the pace of the balance of the nation. Utah's workforce is also more educated than the balance of the nation's, rendering it more productive and appealing to employers, including the major technology firms that are flocking to places like Provo and Salt Lake City. Predictably, the state's incredibly strong labor market is translating into rapid growth in consumer spending on cars, clothing, education, and the arts. Home prices there are also climbing meaningfully, faster than the balance of the nation. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. During the final 3 months of last year, the federal government of the United States borrowed an additional $317 billion. As indicated by The Economist magazine, in cash terms, America's federal government borrowed in a single quarter as much as it did in all of 2006. Once upon a time, many people, including many economists, would have been up in arms about such rapid debt accumulation. While some are concerned about the nation's debt, most people seem focused on other issues. Many economists don't seem nearly as concerned as they might have been once upon a time. In 1989, the great economist Robert Barrow of Harvard wrote that, quote, a cut in today's taxes must be matched by a corresponding increase in the present value of future taxes, close quote. But today, government borrowing looks much less scary than it used to. Some mainstream economists are reconsidering the profession's reflexive aversion to debt. Economists once feared that when the government borrowed too much money, it would raise borrowing costs for others, including businesses and consumers. But real interest rates have been falling around the world for most of the past 40 years. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.